Welcome to episode 3 of Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Brought to you, once again, by me. My name is Becky Adams, otherwise known as Actress. Google it, you'll find some interesting stuff. And for those of you who don't know or aren't quite sure what cosplay is literally the art of costume play. It's the creation, becoming, and going out and showing the world some of your favorite characters from movies, television, anime, video games, you name it. If you're dressing up and becoming the character, you're cosplaying. Today we have a two for one special, as my good friends Rachel Moore and Seth Hendricks are both on the line with us today. So yay, two for the price of one. Rachel Moore is a gamer and a cosplayer who has been both sides of the industries as a working professional and a passionate fangirl for over 10 years. And Seth, her player too, is an award-winning creative director, artist, and internet personality. He's an active member of the 501st Legion, as well as an avid Disney fan. So we'll cut right to it. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
It's great to hear your voices. It's been, like 3 months since we've seen each other?
I know, that's
Has it been
long.
That long? So long.
I know, it's sad. But we're together here, and we're talking something that we love, which is cosplay. So, Rachel, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the cosplay world.
I got into cosplay through you. It was that first year we were going to Comic-Con together, and you really wanted to get a bunch of us girls together to do the Danger Girl group. And at first, I thought you were insane because we were going to dress up in silly costumes and go out in public. And that's just because, I mean, back then, cosplay wasn't really a thing like it is now. I wouldn't even say it was half a thing like it is now. And yeah, I thought you were insane. But it sounded fun, so I gave it a try and loved it. Every single little bit of it, from just having to learn the character, then having to make as much as I could back then, to actually walking around and meeting people and talking to people that liked the same things I did.
I remember you had a hard time wearing a wig back then.
I still do. I hate wigs. Oh, dear God. They're the worst. Yeah.
But you carry them off so well. I think you look good with wigs.
Thank you.
Of course.
They're just so itchy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, nobody said cosplay was comfortable, I guess.
No, definitely not.
All right, Seth, tell us a little bit about your back history.
Well, I got into cosplay through Rachel, as a matter of fact. I went to cons all the time anyway, and I grew up as a super nerd. But going to cons, most of the time I was just there for shopping and to meet friends and stuff like that. And I saw people always wearing costumes, and I thought, man, that'd be so much fun. But I'm not as nerdy as those guys. But as soon as Rachel and I started dating, then, she got me really thinking about it in a different way and opened my eyes to sort of the whole world around it. And the first thing I did was I thought, well, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to be a stormtrooper. Because that's just awesome. You know, there's there's nothing about being a stormtrooper that isn't awesome. And I thought, I always wanted to own one of those costumes. I don't know anybody who doesn't. So I thought, maybe that's my in. So that'll be my in. But while I was waiting to get my stormtrooper costume, which sometimes can take up to, 8 months to a year, I thought, okay, well, I also want to be Snape. Snape is a badass. I could be Snape. So I got together like a full-on Snape outfit, and that was my first kind of official cosplay. And what was so amazing about it was the kids. You know, all the kids that come up to you, and they don't know you're not really Professor Snape. And even if they do, it's something in their brain just still connects and says that you are sort of Snape, or you are sort of a stormtrooper. And so the amazement and the look in their eyes when they come up to you, and that just, to me, instantly made it all worthwhile. And then I've been doing it ever since, and, I'm just having a blast.
Absolutely. I'm right with you on that one. I think kids' expressions, that right there, that's the reason to cosplay.
Definitely, yeah. And that's also why I carry a rubber blaster when I'm a stormtrooper, because I learned very quickly if you carry like a full-on metal replica of a blaster, you can't see kids and they're at face level with the gun. You'll knock one of them, you know, knock their brand new teeth out, and that's just not the guy I want to be. I don't want to be known as that guy.
No, I don't think anybody wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, you've done a lot of costumes over the years. Who was your favorite character that you've done?
Still Kratos. I loved cosplaying as Kratos, and I'm working on a new, completely upgraded, way more badass Kratos, because I think he was my third one ever. And still being my favorite, even so many years later, I want to do it again, but even better.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that. That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm excited too.
What is your approach to cosplay, Rachel? How do you start it? How do you select your characters? What's sort of your whole thing?
100% through passion. I've got to like the character. I have to like, what they're, you know, they're, if they're, whatever movie they're from or video game. I stick to mostly video game characters, but, and I don't care if they're a guy or girl. I actually have more fun cosplaying as guy characters, because then I get to really make it my own, but also show that I actually know that character. So I'm able to, or try to find how to represent who they are and what makes them who they are, but translate that into my own version of them. Because I'm not super like, it's got to be exactly screen accurate. For me, cosplay is about identifying with the character and showing yourself through them, and vice versa. So yeah, 100% passion for that character.
Definitely. Now, Seth, your cosplay so far, you've done a lot with armor. Tell us a little bit how you learned that. How did you get into that, and how did you get started?
Yeah, again, it was through Rachel. You know, I have never been a visual artist. I've never built anything except for maybe like a rebuilt an old toilet or something, you know, at an old house I used to live at. You know, I grew up as my dad's a construction worker and an electrician, and, you know, I was always in the garage with him, and I just realized at a very young age I had no interest in any of that crap. So the idea of building things or making anything with my hands was not something I've ever done, but Rachel does an Assassin's Creed cosplay of Ezio from Assassin's Creed 2, and at the time she had gotten a buckle that, you know, just really wasn't her size. It was way too large for her torso, and it, you know, God bless the guy who made it, but it just wasn't made well. And I looked at it and I thought, well, you know, I bet I could sculpt this thing. I'm just going to give it a try. So I bought some clay and I sat down, I looked at a picture, and I over the course of 2 days ended up sculpting a pretty amazing, you know, Assassin's Creed buckle, enough that I was like, whoa, how'd I make this? And so then I started looking at, like, how do I mold this and, you know, fabricate this into some, you know, actual plastic and make several of them. And then I was like, well, now I made this, I got to make the actual belt to go with it. Well, how do I get some leather, you know, and start making that? And then, you know, I kind of just over the time and the necessity of making things for her, and then started making things for myself when I eventually got my Stormtrooper kit. And I just, you know, went over learning more and more different things, learning how to work with plastics and molds. And most of it just I learned from YouTube. You know, that's an infinite resource of great information, some terrible, crappy information, but there's great information there too. So, and now it's become like my favorite hobby, and I'm obsessed with making stuff now, as you know.
That's really cool, though. I had no idea that you didn't have any like artistic schooling or background in that.
No, I went to school for theater, so basically I wasted my education.
Oh my God, me too.
Nice. You and I, we learned a lot about debt.
Yeah.
And and then got nothing else from it. And also self-loathing. Yeah.
hey, but we can do podcasts.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Podcasts. That was worth the $20,000.
Yeah. My professors would be so proud right now. Yeah.
Oh, man,
So let's jump off topic a little bit, because you're both kind of like us. You're both gamers and you're both Disney fans. So we're going to jump a little bit because a lot of our sister podcasts here on the White Dragon Podcast Network are Disney podcasts. So Rachel, let's start with you. How did you get your passion for Disney?
It was all through my parents. I'm originally from Florida and my parents are huge Disney people. So we went to Disney World all the time. It was just like, if I got a good grade in school, we went to Disney World. And then even just at home, all just the Disney stuff, my parents love it. And they, some of their most magical memories before I was born, because I am the most magical of memories, but we're all my parents at Disney World together. And then just growing up on Disney films, it really is a magical place. And I don't know how anybody could go and not just completely fall in love with it 100%. And it was my parents really got me into Disney and taught me and showed me how to really appreciate it, not just as a theme park, but all the attention to detail and all the just the love that goes into everything they do. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Now, do you think, and this is something I've kind of noticed throughout the years of seeing and meeting other cosplayers, do you think there's some kind of connection to the people who want to cosplay and the people who are in love with Disney?
I think it just comes from being able to appreciate things outside of just what's on the surface. And cosplay kind of spawns from that for a lot of people. I think originally it spawned from, passion for something and wanting to be a part of that. Whatever it is that you're passionate about, wanting to be a part of it and make it a part of who you are. And Disney's really about that as well. A lot of hardcore Disney people know a lot of the secrets of how they make this work and how this is done, all the little attention and detail they put into it. And I think it's all just about being able to see something for more than what it is on the surface.
Not to mention that Disney owns everything. So if you want to if you want to cosplay as just about any character, Disney probably owns it. So
yeah. And if they don't now, they probably will at some point.
Oh yeah, they're going to buy it.
Yeah.
You just wait.
Well, that's why you do crossovers of things. So it's Disney bunnies, or it's Disney Harry Potters, or it's Disney
everything.
Disney Stormtroopers.
Super, yep. Disney man.
Yeah. So Seth, how did you get bit by the Disney bug?
It's actually because of Rachel. This sounds terrible. This sounds like I had no life before I started dating Rachel. It's like I was a completely bland, vanilla personality, and then suddenly Rachel came into my life and brainwashed me into all these things.
Good job, Rachel. No. Good job. Yeah.
No, honestly, it was Rachel. I don't think there's anybody out there who dislikes Disney. And if they say they do, they're full of crap. They're just saying that because they want to push against, everybody else loving Disney. But everybody has fond love for Disney in some way or another, whether you love Mickey or Disneyland or Disney World or a Disney brand of some sort. I would not have said that I was a Disney-phile or that I was super into Disney or even understood why Disney was great. I just remember Disney being the premium expensive channel all the rich kids owned and could watch when I was a kid, when I was watching Nickelodeon, which is the stuff for the free losers like me. I loved Green Slime on my head. The Disney kids loved to do pop dance or something, sing Lion King songs. But I had been to Disneyland many times, several times, and a couple times to Disney World, and I thought it was okay. It was all right. But Rachel and I went on our first date to Disneyland, and, while we were there, she talked to me a lot about why things were amazing, things that you don't even notice, things you're not supposed to notice, and that's what makes them amazing. It's why don't you ever see the outside world when you're there? Or why don't you or look at all these rides that are normally kiddie rides, but they're really an experience and they have so much history behind them and they're so interesting in different ways that you don't understand. And she talked to me about Walt Disney's life and who he was as a person. I thought, wow, that's incredibly inspiring. And through falling in love with Rachel. Shut up. That's really stupid. That sounds terrible. Gross. Gross. Through falling in love with Rachel, I also fell in love with Disney at the same time. So, you know, when I think about Disney and when I think about, you know, a lot of what that means to me as a company and as a brand, I often think about whatever her name is, the other person on the call.
Aw, I wish I had a soundboard right now to have like a whole audience full of people going, aw.
You can add that in later.
Yeah, exactly.
Booze,
yeah. Note to producer, aw. Uh-huh. So, favorite ride at Disneyland. Rachel, go.
Disneyland. Haunted Mansion. Although I do prefer the one at Disney World. But if I'm only at Disneyland, then Haunted Mansion.
Okay. Seth, go.
You know, probably Haunted Mansion. Yeah, definitely Haunted Mansion. There are other rides there that are fantastic, you know, and fun in a lot of ways, but probably the most creative ride that's there is definitely Haunted Mansion. It's like, how do you make something creepy and scary without it being too scary? How do you do all these amazing effects at a time when you had no effects technology, really? And it's just, what they accomplished was incredible.
Plus the storyline that so many people ride that. I wrote it hundreds of thousands of times until my adult life.
Holy crap.
And it wasn't until I was in my like mid-20s or something that I actually found out about the story of Haunted Mansion. It's like, what? I never knew that. But now it's just something else I get to learn and something else I get to see. And it just grows on you. Haunted Mansion's amazing.
I agree. If you could have any job, Rachel, at Disney, or be friends with any of the characters, who would it be, and what would you do?
If I could have any job, it'd either be Ride Imagineering, but I'd have to be the person that was like the top end person, so I could veto the "Don't get rid of Maelstrom, get out of here, whoever said that, you're
yes!
fired."
Yes.
The guy who's like, "Hey, let's change Tower of Terror to be Guardians of the Galaxy." You're fired. That would be my dream job. But my more obtainable dream job is I want to be Mickey Mouse in the Disneyland's Fantasmic so bad. it's painful is how every time we're there and we watch it, I just want to swim over the lake, go beat up that person in the Mickey Mouse suit, and then I'll put it on and we'll just restart the show.
You
and then hopefully
that.
Everyone forgets that you just beat up Mickey Mouse. And
yeah.
Mouse
yeah. Yeah. Not the beat up part, but you could be Mickey Mouse.
If I just flash the lights really quickly, it'll blind everybody just for a few seconds and then they'll forget everything they just saw.
When you say flash the lights, you mean turn them on and off real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Just to clarify for the listeners at home. Okay.
The Disney needs to like set something up really quick. You're in a dark room. They'll flash the lights really fast in your eyes and then have that set change happen really quickly during the flash so that your eyes are adjusting and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we're in a whole new place.
Where'd our wallets go?
Exactly. Okay, Seth, how about you? What would you do if you had a job at Disney?
I want to be the guy who taste tests everything that they're about to put out. I just want to be the official taste tester for both parks here in the United States. They can send it to my house. I don't have to come in if they don't want me to. They don't have to give me an office or anything. and I'll just, you know, I'll eat it all, and then I'll send them my thoughts. And that made me really happy. Because the truth is, the food there is, it's so terrible and amazing at the same time. No, it's terrible for you. It's the worst. I mean, when I leave Disneyland, every time we go, I feel like I have, you know, some baby growing inside. It's like, I feel like it's like the alien baby that's going to like be a chest burster and like come out of my chest, but it's going to do a little, you know, dance and fly away on a magic carpet. But that's what's so great about it, because the experience of ingesting it is the best.
Yeah.
I mean, they make a mac and cheese hot dog. It's a hot dog with mac and cheese on it.
A mac and cheese cheeseburger at Epcot.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know who's got like the worst job there is every time they need a stink smell, like the stink bug during Bug's Life or the stink smell in the Figment ride. Some guy has got to go, is that too stinky for riders or like do we need to dial it down? Or hey, Joe, is this a good fart smell?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got three more that I need you to smell real quick. Tell me which is the closest to fart. It's like, oh man, that job sucks.
That is so true. Or the guy who has to pick up the poop after the horses. That's equally as, maybe it's the same person.
Maybe.
Because it's so close to it. They know exactly what that smells like.
Oh yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
They got rid of the petting zoo, and I feel terrible that the goats are gone now. Someone did have to clean up after the goats all the time. But the poor goat prostitutes have now been given away. Good homes, forever homes.
Yeah.
But it's sad because we don't get to pet them anymore.
No, but we get Star Wars in exchange.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's kind of a fair trade, I think.
They should have a little tiny Ewok petting zoo.
Oh, can we make that happen? Okay, hurry up and become Imagineers, like, tomorrow.
I don't know if we can make it happen, but we certainly can talk about it and then and dream. That's what it's all about.
That's what Disney's all about, is dreaming.
Yep.
So let's shift gears one more time, because we're multifaceted people. We're going to go to the video game realm. So, Rachel, let's start. Tell me a little bit about your video game journey, where you got started, where you are now.
Oh, man. I've been gaming since I was learning my alphabets. My dad and his Atari 2600 is where I started. And I played my entire life, but it wasn't until college that I actually started working in the game industry. And I was writing reviews and news and all that kind of stuff for GameSpot. No. GamePro. I worked at GameStop, but it was before back in EB, so there was that. And then I just freelance for a whole bunch of different websites, game websites and stuff, mostly on the press side. And then once written press and magazines and stuff weren't a thing anymore, I shifted over to video and started doing on-camera hosting and interviewing developers and stuff like that at press events. And then I started a YouTube, and then I'm here right now today.
And you have a Twitch?
I do, yeah. Twitch.tv/TheRachel, and I just live stream games and stuff every week.
Fun. So, Seth, how about you, your video game journey?
Well, it started with me not ever wanting to leave my house as a child because I got beat up a lot as a kid. So, and it's, you know, it happens when you're smart. People punch you in the face. So, you know, and to avoid that, my father, who was like, oh, you should go play sports. I was like, hey, guess what? I got Tecmo Bowl. That was so much easier. So I had a Nintendo. I did have an Atari 2600, but I didn't really play a ton of those games. But my first love was my NES and the original Nintendo. And I had like every game for it. Even all the girl games, like the Barbie game and stuff like that. and I'm not ashamed to admit it. So I started playing games very, very constantly most of my childhood. And it, you know, it slowed down as I got older. But then I ended up getting a job in video games. My very first job in L.A. That was an actual day job. Because I had been in like a set PA on TV and movies and stuff like that for a long time. But I worked in an ad agency and I was a producer's assistant, and I worked on campaigns for like the very first Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Borderlands, the first one, Silent Hill, a whole bunch of games. And I got very passionately back into console gaming after that. And then stayed in it. And then, of course, once Rachel and I got together several years back, it even, you know, triple folded over because, you know, she's so into games. So I like to play video games by picking a game up, you know, playing it for about a half hour and then putting it on the shelf forever. That's pretty much how I play every video game. Rachel's very, very aggressively mean to me about how I have to finish every game I play. So I'll play like for a half hour, an hour, and she's like, no, you gotta finish that one. I'm like, I don't want it. She's like, yeah, you gotta finish it.
It's out of love. It's out of love, Seth.
Yeah.
All the cool games that you played and stuff that you wouldn't have finished, like Uncharted.
That's true. I would have probably never played Uncharted if it wasn't for her. And a lot of games. I discovered
Dragon Age.
Dragon Age I had never played, and she brought me back to that. So it's really cool because she's played a ton of games that I never played. I was like the Halo Call of Duty guy, and you know, a few RPGs here and there like Fable and stuff, but she really opened my eyes up to a whole bunch of games that I'd never even heard of that are really amazing. And and she's you know, very, people talk a lot of crap about girl gamers, but I can tell you Rachel knows five times more about video games than I do, and she's very thorough when she plays. Like, she gets every achievement, she, you know, opens every map, she, you know, learns every body storyline, she plays every possible scenario of the gameplay over and over. And I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I run past all the collectibles. I'll run past them. I'm like, what's that sparkling?
Oh, God, drives me crazy.
I know. I would kill you. I would. Seriously.
She's like, you got to go back. You can't just leave that on the ground. I'm like, I don't need it.
Yeah. Sometimes when I want him to play a game because I know he'll like it, the agreement is he's like, I'll play it and you can watch, but you have to stay quiet.
Oh, man. She's such a backseat.
I get so mad if he doesn't. It's like, why didn't you go through that door? That door is closed. You didn't explore behind it. There might be collectibles.
Yeah, or no, she'll say it. She'll say it real, real sly, like, oh, did you see that? Did you see that door there? Maybe. Do you think maybe there's something in there you're interested in? I'm like, I don't know. I just go and go to the next mission. And she's like, yeah, but that thing in there, maybe. So, which is great because, you know, all I do when I play a game, it's like 50% gaming and 50% me doing voices and, you know, making fun of people in the game and doing scenarios. And, you know, I'll get stuck in an area where there's nothing going on simply because I'm making my character dance and teabag people. And, you know, she forces me to actually play the game for real. And that's good. Everyone needs that kind of checks and balances in your life.
Yes, most definitely. Okay, one more flip before we go to the end of our podcast. Now, at the end of all of my podcasts, we always play a game. And I have a very special one for you guys.
Awesome.
Because you're gamers. So before we jump to the game, let me ask you, Rachel, we'll start with you. What is your end-all, be-all, like, ideal cosplay? Like, if you did this cosplay tomorrow, you could retire.
Oh, I really want to do... man, now her name just slips my mind. Oh, Eleanor from Bioshock 2, the big sister, the Eleanor big sister version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Seth, how about you?
Well, I have one that I desperately want to do, and then I think one that would be the retiring. So the one I desperately want to do is Jareth, the Labyrinth. Goblin King. Ooh. Labyrinth's my favorite movie of all time, and you know, now that David Bowie has passed, RIP, it's even more special to me now that, you know, that I could pull that off and maybe attempt that sometime. But I have a real beef with the very first armor suit that I ever tried to build, which was Iron Man. Started building it out of craft foam, and actually I started building it out of Pepakura paper and trying to, you know, make it fiberglass and all that stuff. And God, that was a failure. Then I went to the foam side of things and equally failed again. So it's kind of like this personal vendetta I have against the Iron Man suit to actually have a really quality Iron Man suit at some point. With, like, electronics and everything in it, you know, so that it shoots out, I don't know, flames or missiles. I don't know. Nerf missiles, of course. You don't want to blow something up, but
yeah, it's kid, you know, level.
So that's my thing. I think I'll pursue it one day.
Nice. Yes, I foresee both of those actually coming true someday.
Thank you.
I definitely do.
You have more faith in me than me.
All right, we're going to play our game now. So so this game, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you an alternate name, an alternate title for video games, and you have to try and figure out what the video game is. Some are easy, some are a little bit more challenging.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
So the first one is Bricks and Pipes.
Mario.
Shoots and Ladders.
Video game. Although I do think they made that a video game, didn't they?
Sure. Yeah, I'll say yes.
Yeah. Okay. But Rachel got it right. Ding, ding, ding. Okay.
Good job.
All right. The next one is Sneaky Murders Through Time.
Sneaky Murders Through Time.
Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
Yes.
So I've got that one. All right. One in one. All right. The next one is surprise boobies in suits.
That sounds like something Rachel would play.
Metroid.
Yes.
Nice.
Correct. All right. The next one's easy. Space soldiers.
Halo.
Yes.
Dang.
Ding, ding. Come on, Seth.
I know. I was thinking, I immediately thought Stormtroopers when you said that. So I'm like, oh, Star. There were 500 Star Wars games. Crap.
Yeah, I guess that could be multiple things if you think about it. Okay. Player two in a big house.
Luigi's Mansion.
Yes.
Yeah! Oh, I love that game.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Medical plumber.
Dr. Mario.
Yep.
Ah, damn.
Owned.
Okay, this one's going back a little bit further in time. Punch face ear bites.
Punch out.
Oh.
Yes.
Mike Tyson's punch out.
Mike Tyson's punch out, right.
Now, we got to go to the judges because there was a punch out before Mike Tyson's punch out.
I got to give it to you then, Seth.
Look it up. I'm telling you, and it did not have, right? Oh, man, I got to Google this one. I'm pretty sure there was a punch-out before there was a Mike Tyson's punch-out.
Because the ear bites is the big thing on that one.
Yeah, because Mike Tyson did, he bit the ear. Yes, punch-out is a series of games. There was a punch-out, punch-out boxing, super punch-out, then punch-out Mike Tyson's punch-out.
Oh, so you give us one, and you also give us a little bit of history. So
it's got double name, Punch Out Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Just in case we weren't sure exactly which game it was, it's Punch Out Mike Tyson Punch Out.
Just to make sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The next one is Rage Ape.
Donkey Kong.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Good one. Okay.
Originally supposed to be called Monkey Kong.
Monkey.
But the Japanese company that printed the labels for the arcade machine printed them wrong because they misread them, and it became Donkey Kong.
Wow.
There you go.
Those silly Japanese people.
Mm-hmm. Can't see anything.
It's like the original Pac-Man, which we really can't talk about here on air because kids are listening, but that was called something else. Okay, the next one. The next one is Foggy Nightmare.
Silent Hill.
Yes.
No, that's... Oh, yes.
Yes, you did. Yeah, that was right. okay. Underwater socialism.
It's got to be...
Echo
Russian,
the Dolphin.
Russian submarine.
Nope.
Underwater socialism. Underwater. Under the sea. Oh, dang. Scuba... Scuba Politics.
No.
It was a Famicom game, Scuba Politics. You never played that?
Scuba Politics. That's ridiculous.
Siblings.
Think of siblings. Big ones and small ones.
The Scuba Sisters.
The snorkels.
The submarine brother-in-laws.
Think of... the paternal, large paternal characters.
Jaws.
No. Oh my gosh, how do you not know this one?
Oh, God, Bioshock.
Yes.
She's trying to get you to say Big Daddy.
Oh, yes. I was thinking
underwater socialism.
Underwater socialism, wow. Yeah, that's fair.
See, that's a hard one, right? Yeah.
That is tough, yeah.
All right. Rachel will get this one easy. Sexy male explorer.
Ah, yeah, that's Uncharted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't going to answer for you on that one. I was going to let you have that for sure.
Here, Seth, I have one for you. Sexy female explorer.
Laura Croft. Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider.
Yes.
I didn't name it anyway.
There you go. Well, that's all I have. That's all of them. So, unless you can come up with other alternate fun names.
Who won?
Oh, I don't know. I lost track.
We didn't even keep score? What?
I didn't keep score. Our listeners.
What a crappy game is this?
Our listeners will have to like go back and rewind this and tell us who won.
If they're under the age of 30, they don't know what rewind means, but all right.
Oh my goodness, you're right. This is true. You need to put the pen in the little hole and turn.
Jeez, yeah. Kids today, they don't even
Becky,
understand.
I have one in the production booth.
If I may.
A game.
Oh, you do? Okay.
When fantasy meets magic.
Dark Journey 7.
Dragon?
No.
Final Fantasy.
Close.
Minecraft. Not the Final Fantasies.
Final Fantasy Star.
Final Fantasy 7.
No, it's not.
Final Fantasy
not,
2. Final
well,
Fantasy 3.
Close, but.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
Fantasy Star.
Ding, 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 ding. I got one right. I was going to say Ross and Auntie the game, but that hasn't come out yet.
Not for a few years.
Yeah, that'll come out. Anyway, all right. Well, there you go, folks. My awesome guests and good friends, Rachel and Seth. So before we go, we'll start with Rachel. Tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs.
I am everywhere. Well, just because my name is spelled funny. So if you type in R-A-Y-C-H-U-L, you'll find tons of just me stuff. My website, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yes, and really hot photos.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can
say
that.
I would hook up with you.
I was going to say, I can say that because Seth is on the line. So
yeah.
You can say it anytime you want.
All right, Seth, where can people find you in the worlds?
Well, my home address is... I don't know. I used to have more of an internet presence than I do today because I don't have any time to do internet stuff. But if you look up Super Seth Powers as one word, you'll probably find something. I probably Twitter. Go to the tweeters. I'm on there somewhere. Google To Catch a Predator. And episode 7, season 2, and I was the guy running at the end when the cops all dove on him, and I didn't do it, by the way. It was...
Oh, my.
Anyway, yeah, just... You probably don't look me up. It's probably for the best, kids. Yeah, you probably should just forget you heard all of this.
And these episodes are just getting more and more interesting. People are finding so much about our cosplay community.
I know. I think I'm under court order. I'm not allowed to do these kinds of interviews anyway. So.
Oh, fun times. All right, folks. Well, thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Later. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Be sure to tune in to next week's podcast. But in the meantime, follow me on Facebook at Rebecca Denise Actress. You can find me on Twitter at Actress. And basically, if you Google Actress, A-K-T-R-E-Z, you'll probably find me. In the meantime, keep being creative, keep making magic, and I'll see you real soon.